For those of you that don't know Brian Acey, Brian led this church for 20 years before the current team started leading. And so he has some ownership around here. And he's a good friend of mine, and he kind of boxes my ears every once in a while to keep me straight and in line and following the straight and narrow. He's a good friend. Would you please welcome Brian Acey to the front this morning?
All right. Woo-hoo. All right. Well, I understand you guys have been talking about the Holy Spirit. And just in case you aren't quite tired of that, I thought we would just keep up with it. Talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit today. I really would rather not be here. Truth is, I like all of you, but I'd rather not be here. Scott, I travel a lot. I don't know what we can do about that, but I can't just stand and preach. It just doesn't work. I would rather not be here. My family and I are actually supposed to be in Ireland this week. We were going to be there for our oldest son's wedding, but as many of you know, he died a year ago, and we were all supposed to be gathering in Ireland this week and having a wonderful celebration with he and Samantha and her family. But it's an interesting thing. I've always said, from a distance, I've always said that death really brings focus to life. I've never been this close to it before. But it's interesting, as this week, as I've been preparing, thinking, and praying about speaking to you today, I obviously have had Ian on my mind. And one particular moment occurred to me years ago when he was just a little guy. He must have been probably somewhere in the 7, 8, 9-year-old, probably a little younger than that. We were all at family camp, and we had this amazing woman who was teaching the children, and she had been teaching the children for a couple of years. She came from somewhere else. I don't remember where or what her name was, but she loved the Holy Spirit, and she talked to the children about the Holy Spirit all the time. I remember a great man in my life. He has had such a great voice in my life, Dave Wells from Regina, Saskatchewan. And he always said, you know, the reason we go to camp, the reason that we go to special events, the reason we go to conferences is because if we just keep doing the same thing week after week after week, we miss some of those high points and some of the low points. We just kind of cruise through. And he says the reason we go to camp is because we need to get out of the ordinary so that we can experience the extraordinary. And it's so true. And as JR is talking about being at the conference, just be there. Because you need to step out of the ordinary sometimes to be encountered by or encounter the extraordinary. And generally speaking, extraordinary doesn't happen here. I love the way one guy that I used to listen to a lot, I think he was very wise, and he'd say, you know, on Sunday morning it could be a steak dinner, or often it's just a bologna sandwich. In my case, it would be peanut butter, pickle, and mayonnaise sandwich. But anybody with me on that? What? Try it. Be open-minded, people. But the point is, it's not always spectacular because it's a family gathering, you guys. We're not putting on a show here. This isn't intended to be spectacular. It's intended that a community comes together to celebrate a spectacular God. But when we set aside time, like for conferences and camps, amazing things happen. Be there. Don't think about it. It's really cheap. And so if you can't go, it means you're cheap. All right? So go. Just be there. And I would encourage you, you're going to be hearing from some amazing people, including one of my favorites in the entire earth, Clem Ferris. Clem is still coming, isn't he? And so you're going to get a chance to hear from Clem, which is worth the price of admission of anything that you might go to. Anyway, camp. And our kids were in this camp, and this lady's talking about the Holy Spirit, and And then on the final night, of course, that's the moment when she's been leading up to and she's been teaching them, and they're having fun, but they're learning about the Holy Spirit. And she says, all right, now, who here would like to receive the Holy Spirit? And of course, most of the kids raise their hands, and they have no idea what's about to happen to them. And she lays hands on them and prays for them. And JR talked about this last week. He said, if you ask, your Father in heaven will give you what you ask for. He will give you the Holy Spirit. And so that's what happened. And some of the kids had these amazing experiences, and some of them didn't. And Ian, my son Ian, didn't have an amazing experience. He went on to have some really, really amazing experiences later on in life that were oftentimes self-created. He was a knucklehead, and he was an amazing young man. One day he was working out in North Dakota in the oil fields, and he was in a trailer by himself, and typically they just work, and they eat, and then they sleep, and then they work. And so he was in the sleeping part, but he couldn't get to sleep because he said, Dad, he called and he said, Dad, the trailer is just filled with this evil, evil spirit. He says, I don't understand. He says, I've been staying here for weeks on end, and I haven't experienced anything like this. He said, but there's an intimidation. There's something intimidating. He says, there is something in this trailer. There is something here with me. And I think he called Janine, and he talked to Janine. And older sisters are really important for stuff like this. And so he says, there's something here. He says, I got my gun out, and I have looked under the bed at least 3 or 4 times. I have looked in the closet. I've looked underneath the trailer. He said, there is nothing here, but Dad, there is somebody here. And he just was absolutely electrified. What he didn't know was, and none of us knew, was at the same time in our basement, one of our other kids was experiencing exactly the same thing, except that for them, it had been a pattern, a regular pattern of intimidation where a spirit would show up in the room at night, a very real and visible and intimidating, the same spirit. But Ian didn't know that. And he says, I just didn't know what else to do, and I started pacing back and forth. And if you knew Ian, you would know that he would be pacing back and forth with a tremendous agitation and heft. And he says, then all of a sudden, Dad, I tried to pray and I couldn't pray, and then all of a sudden, this stuff started coming out of my mouth, and I started groaning, and I started moaning, and then I started saying things, I started saying words that I didn't understand. And he says, the more I did, the louder I got, and the louder I got, and the more I did it, the more that spirit left. He said, by the time it was done, I was just so energized, and I was so full, and that thing was gone. And he was weirded out and excited, just like you or I would be. But you see, when he was about 8 or 9 years old, someone was smart enough and wise enough and bold enough to say, would you like to ask God to give you his Holy Spirit? And he did. He didn't experience anything. He didn't feel anything. And as far as he knew, nothing happened. But years later, when he needed it, you see, the Holy Spirit is real. The problem that we have is that in a lot of ways, we're actually not real. We are, if we are in Christ, we're spirit beings, and we're hidden in this thing. None of us got to choose it. I would have chosen something taller and more slender, something closer to Jay Shirley, probably. Definitely more manly. Owen Voigt bought me a really beautiful gun years ago because I said, I think I would like to have one. And I still have never shot it, Owen. I don't know how, really. And so I know that's really hard for a lot of you people to believe. The Holy Spirit is real. And the spirit realm is so much real, you guys, than we are living right now, than we, most of us, are experiencing or thinking about. We're so preoccupied with what's going on around us, which isn't abnormal. It's been happening for millions of years, I guess. Thousands of years it's been happening, where there's so much going on around us. It's just that for us, there actually really is so much more than ever was going on around humans before, because the information and the ability to travel are all there, and communication is absurd. We communicate so much more than we really need to. But all of that is not the real. The real part is the part you can't see. And you have enemies. If you read the scripture from the very beginning to the very end, you cannot escape it. You have enemies. Enemies of your soul. Enemies of your body. Enemies of you. Enemies of that spirit that is in you. And the problem is you can't see those enemies. That's why all of the political talk today doesn't make any sense, because we're just pointing fingers and yelling and saying lies about other people that we're saying are telling lies about us. The whole political thing doesn't make any sense, because it's all people yelling at one another instead of understanding that their enemies are actually people they cannot see. I know those of you that have been around here for a while, you know, I talk about this a lot, because I think we just have to be reminded. You guys, what you're living right now, most of what you're living observably is not real. It is temporal. It's going to pass away. And a lot of it is not going to mean anything. What will mean something is what you did with that time that you had here in this thing that you didn't get to choose. The spirit realm is so real. And if we are not walking in the spirit, then we are most likely getting our butts kicked. You know, there was a day when you couldn't say butt in church. And there was a day when you couldn't wear jeans in church either, but here we are. I try to wear clean ones. So as I was thinking about Ian this week, and I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking about how our enemy uses fear, our enemy uses distraction, our enemy uses insecurity, our enemy uses self-love, our enemy uses intimidation. But the thing is that the thing that this woman told our children, and she told Ian, she says, "Now, wait a minute, before you put your hand up and before I pray for you and before you receive the Holy Spirit," because you will receive the Holy Spirit, because God said that if you ask, He will give you what you ask for. So be careful, because what's about to happen is real, and what's about to happen is you are about to receive the Spirit of the living God, His breath. Think about this, you guys. And she said, a lot of you are this big. Someday you're going to be this big. But right now you're this big, but you don't get a half a Holy Spirit. You get the whole thing. No measuring out. You get it all. You get Him. And when He comes, He's going to fill you, and it's going to change everything. Says she did warn them about that. She says, you're going to get the whole thing, the whole Holy Spirit. And it isn't the same for everybody. When Ian asked for prayer, nothing significant happened. And I remember talking with him about it. And he's saying, "Dad, I just don't understand." I said, "Well, God will show Himself. I'm not too worried about it. I just know he tells the truth when He talks." And he said, "If you asked, you would receive." I said, I would love it if you had the experience that I had, because it just absolutely was like I stuck my finger in a light socket. And it changed everything about me. In fact, one guy suggested that probably I wasn't saved beforehand. That I had changed so much that probably I was probably serving the devil up to that point. I said, "Well, I just think you're kind of stupid the way you think sometimes." Because the scripture says that if you ask, and I asked God a long time ago, I think I was a Christian when I received the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that way for him. But it doesn't change the fact that it was real. And some of you, maybe even in the last few weeks, you've responded to an offer and say, would you like to either receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And maybe some of you have done that, and maybe some of you experienced something, and maybe some of you didn't. But all I'm here to say to you today, I feel really compelled to say to you, it doesn't matter how you feel. That is not what this is about. We are not doing this for better feelings. We are not doing this to be assured that God actually cares for us. He said he did. And he said he does. And he said he always will. And yet J.R. shared a scripture that said, we don't just ask God to fill us. If you were here, you heard J.R. sort of giving a grammar lesson on the present participle or something like that. Perfect present participle. It's you ask and you keep asking, and he's going to fill and keep filling. And so I want to encourage you, don't stop. And don't be looking for feelings, because the feelings are not really what it's about. It would be nice. And when the feelings come, when you experience the presence of God in such a way that it's manifest, that you feel it, it is amazing. There's this group that we belong to, Regions Beyond. You're going to be hearing from some of their people in the next couple of weeks, and I'm telling you, your opportunity is amazing. I don't think most of you really understand what's about to happen to you. And the people that are coming to pray with you and to speak to you and to minister to you, these are people who can change your life, because they come and bring something that is on the heart of God. And these guys, we gathered together over the last couple of years and talked significantly about what are the values of this group, this movement called Regions Beyond. And one of the key things is that we are a people empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this is the statement. We believe in the vitality of every member being filled with the Holy Spirit. The vitality of every believer filled, meaning you have life in you. And the importance of using their God-given gifts to build the church and to impact their communities. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, I'm going to kind of cut out some extra stuff just for the sake of time. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Rivers of living water. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, you guys have looked at all these scriptures, so I'm going through them kind of quickly. He presented himself alive to them, because he had been dead. He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. For John baptized with water, he said, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Can you imagine how that felt to them? A people who up to that point had only known that God and that God would encounter people, or people would encounter God only in an external way, typically. He was with them in his spirit. But then he promised that he would come and he would be in them. He would reside in them. And Jesus said, if you ask me, I will come in, my Father and I, and we will abide with you, which means we will never leave you. And so here he's saying, the Holy Spirit, not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. Oh my goodness, you guys. Let this go in. This is us. I think we have something to live up to here. A living God. The one who created it all and holds it all together. And he says, I'm no longer going to relate to man in an external way, but I am going to be in him by my Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, just a few days from now, you guys, what if somebody came to us and said that, and we actually believed them? And they said, in a couple days from now, God is going to come, he's going to visit you, and he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He's going to fill you with power so that you will become witnesses to the very ends of the earth of what he has done. How would we respond to that? Would we show up to the meeting? I mean, that's a scary thought. If God says, I'm going to show up, you go ahead and have your morning prayer on Wednesday morning, but I'm coming and I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit. How would we feel? Would we be nervous the night before? I think so. I received a word one time that I would have this, there was a day coming when I would have this magnificent experience where it would be very much like John on the island of Patmos, where he was taken up in the Spirit and saw things that he couldn't even explain. And be honest, I heard that word and I thought, Lord, that's too scary. I'm not one of those apostles. I'm not him. That's really scary. I'm not sure I want that to happen. I honestly said that. A few times I've ventured into it, say, well, Lord, I take that back if you really still want to. But that terrified the idea of, and yet, you guys, the reason it terrifies me is because I'm not walking in that Spirit on a daily basis the way that I should. And I think this is the day that we're in when we need to become a people who walk according to the Spirit of God, because we are filled. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, thank God. If you haven't received prayer, as Paul said when he came upon some disciples, he says, you're believers. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, what's this? We've never heard of this. And he says, well, okay. I know you guys looked at this last week. He says, all right. Well, I'll explain it to you. And then he laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what Jesus told them was going to happen. And it's exactly what he tells us is going to happen. You guys, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the very breath of God. It's not a joke. When Jesus was dead, he was dead. He was flat on the ground, actually probably laying on stone. And he was cold as death because he was dead. But there was a moment when God, the Father, somehow bent over him and breathed his breath. The breath of the living God now enters the dead body of his son, Jesus. And he starts appearing to people. And he says, that same breath now will be yours. Just wait here a couple days. Things are going to happen. And then you go to the book of Acts. We're going to go there. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Today, I'm not really preaching. I'm here to encourage you. So, when the day of Pentecost arrived, verse 1, they were all together in one place. I'm going to read the whole thing, so relax. Just enjoy yourselves. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Put yourself there. Just do it. Just picture yourself there. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together. And they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed, astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya beyond to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes and Cretans and Arabians. And we hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. So understand this. It wasn't just Peter speaking. It says they were all speaking to these people and telling them about the gospel. We know Peter is about to get up and give the first gospel message. But these other people were actually speaking the wonders of God to all of the other people. There are about 120 of them turned loose on a large crowd. And it says they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. This was a prophecy. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and all of that we are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, see, God fulfilled his promise. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, meaning us. Everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. And it says, in verse 42, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That was not put in front of us to make us feel bad about the fact that we live now instead of then. That was not put there to be a bother to us. That was not put there so that we could think, oh, that was cool. God used to be pretty cool. That Holy Spirit thing used to be really cool. He's saying, no, this is for you and for your children and for those who are far off, you and I. The breath of God in you. And what does it take? Asking. And having asked, will your Father deny you what you have asked for? No. He will give you the Holy Spirit. And then we go on and read through the book of Acts. It wouldn't take very long, but it would be kind of fun to do. But we won't do that now. But it's the idea that periodically throughout the book, it says he added to their number daily. He added 3,000 that day, and he added them daily. And then it starts talking about God added multitudes to their group. There was another time when Peter spoke and 4,000 people were added. And it says they were being added. Every time they came together, people were being added. And you have to figure, within a month, they had to have been somewhere around 20, 25,000 people. And it says they were continuing to gather together in one another's homes and praying and seeking God and worshiping and breaking bread together and enjoying this amazing presence of God in them. This is a pattern for us. Not something that's impossible to attain to. This is a pattern for God's people. Mark DuPont is a prophetic guy, and if you were around back in the days of the Toronto Blessing and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we called it renewal. It was an amazing time, and many of you were tremendously affected during that period of time. And particularly our young people were tremendously affected because they had been in church for all their lives, but all of a sudden they began to experience the reality of the power of the presence of God like never before. And it changed everything. Absolutely everything. Changed the way that we looked at everything that we were doing. And all of a sudden, in all of our busyness, we didn't have any trouble finding time for meetings or people who wanted to come to them. Because God had manifest his presence among us in some amazing way we couldn't have even imagined or hoped for. Or we did ask for it, but we didn't know what we were asking for. And it was happening all over the earth. Millions of people were gathering together and experiencing something like they hadn't experienced ever, most of them, in their lives. And God would just show up and he would speak to each of us individually and empower us and fill us with his Holy Spirit. And if you read through the book of Acts, you see that periodically the people would just reach the ends of themselves and they'd come together and they'd cry out and they'd say, Lord, we're being intimidated and harassed and the authorities are telling us that we can't do this anymore. So we're just asking you, they're not saying, would you take care of our political system? Would you take care of the politicians in Jerusalem? Would you take care of all of the troubles that we're having and help us change the laws? They said, would you fill us with boldness that we would be even more bold to proclaim the good news that you have entrusted to us? And it says the place began to shake and a mighty wind filled the room and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again and they went out and boldly proclaimed the good news. And some of them died as a result of it. Just in case we all get the idea that this being baptized in the Holy Spirit thing has anything to do with you. It has everything to do with filling the earth with God's glory and preaching His good news, His gospel, with such a power and such a force and such an energy that it's undeniable when it goes out of our mouths. You guys, am I alone in thinking that it would really be a good time in history for the book of Acts to get stirred back up again? Am I the only one who, and I know I'm not, but I'm just, when you read this, isn't there something in you that just stirs a little bit and just gets a little restless, maybe even agitated? Agitated is sometimes not good, because then if we get agitated, we start looking at our leaders like they're the problem. Your leaders are not the problem. They're just one of you. They're not the problem, except that they're the problem along with you. You guys, this Holy Spirit is with you today. And if this Holy Spirit is not in you today, all you have to do is ask. I dare you right now, quietly utter, "Lord, right now, I'm asking you for your Holy Spirit." If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, just ask somebody after this meeting. Just say, "Would you please lay hands on me? Come up here and ask the team, would you lay hands on me and ask that I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" And then just ask God. And it says, if you ask God, you will receive. I'm not promising you anything except that you'll be filled with His Holy Spirit. I'm not promising that you'll feel anything or do anything different or be weird. I'm not promising you won't. I'm promising you it's true, it's real. And He says, if you'll do it. But here's the thing, you guys. What does the church look like? Does it look like a bunch of people who have the Holy Spirit in them and the Holy Spirit is stirred up in them and vibrant and energetic from corner to corner? Some of us don't have corners anymore, but you know what I'm saying. So I would like, if you're 21 years old or younger, I'd like you to come sit up front someplace. Old people, get out of the way. If you're 21 years old or younger, come up here and just sit. I'm not going to embarrass you or do anything weird with you. I just want to talk to you for a moment. I'm going to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. I'm just going to read. If you're 21 or younger and you didn't come up here right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you guys find a spot. You just can't dance in the aisle. There's rules. No, there aren't any. Okay. In the city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the prophet and the people of Israel. So basically, everybody in the city and in the region was against the Christians. They were against the believers. And they were intimidated by these people. And they were being told that they would be killed and imprisoned and stoned and hung and all kinds of other horrible things. And this was their prayer. They said, "Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And it said, when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And it says, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And again, I'm saying, I'm guessing conservatively there were probably 25,000 believers in that area right at that point. Probably more. But it says they were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him were his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and grace upon them all. Grace was upon them all. And it goes on to talk about how they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a group, they were just absolutely released to speak what was true and to lay hands on people and see them healed and to lay hands on people and see them filled with the Holy Spirit. And they had the ability at that point, not because of their experience or their age or their place in life, but because they believed, because they simply believed and they asked to be filled with this Holy Spirit. And because they were filled with this Holy Spirit and because it meant life and death, God met them there. He filled them and they went out. To some of them, it was tremendous, at tremendous personal expense. Some of them lost their lives. Some of them, their children lost their lives. Some of them lost their mothers and their fathers. Some of them were scattered. Some of them weren't. But they all knew that God was with them. You guys, and I'm speaking to everyone, but I really am speaking so earnestly to you, young people. God is with you. There's just so much that we heap on top of that. And it's, we, when we're kids, we learn the story about the, you know, this little light of mine. And we don't put the bushel basket over. Nobody knows what a bushel basket is. But you guys, we do. The world has a tendency to just pile stuff on top of our light. But it is time. Mark DuPont, how many of you have seen the movie? Why can't I think of it now? The movie Dunkirk. How many of you have seen the movie Dunkirk? You guys haven't seen Dunkirk yet? I thought people your age went to all the movies. Okay. You need to see Dunkirk. Raise your right hand. No, raise your right hand. I need you to assure me that you will watch Dunkirk in the next week. All right? It's a movie, for goodness sake. You guys are supposed to be watching movies all the time. That's what we all understand about you. It's not true? Oh, it's just us old people. Watch Dunkirk. What happened? Mark DuPont brought a prophetic word to a group of leaders somewhere. I don't know where we were. Somewhere else in the world. We were gathering together and we were praying and worshiping and we were seeking the Lord, and Mark brought this word and he says, I believe that the stage in history that the church is in today, he says, it's very much like Dunkirk, and Dunkirk is in a sense a prophetic picture of what is about to happen on the earth today. He says what happened was there were 300,000 or 400,000 soldiers that were isolated on a beach, and they were surrounded by the Germans and they're the people that were with them, and they were just being pinched onto this tiny little beach. And the British Navy didn't have ships in that area, and they couldn't get ships in that area because if they brought their battleships to pick up the soldiers, then they would lose other areas where they had gained ground against their enemies. And they didn't know what to do. There was no way to rescue these men, and they were going to be lost. And then somebody had this brilliant idea. They said, well, we are Britain, right? We rule the sea. But we are an island surrounded by the sea, and we have a lot of boats. And so what they did is they said, they made a call to the citizenry, and they said, if you have a boat or access to a boat, we are asking you to cross the channel and to pick up as many soldiers and bring them back across as you can. And having done that, we're asking you to go back out across. Now, understand that these seas were also being patrolled by the enemy. And these people that were going across their lives were in danger by doing what they did. And do you know, if you watch the movie, you'll know what happens. It's an amazing story, but it also is a prophetic picture. And I believe it's a prophetic picture for your generation particularly. Because I think you are the ones who are going to be able to sail those seas. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And then I want to encourage you, all of us, to begin to ask God, what is it that I need to do to be part of that church? The one I read about in the book of Acts. I heard a preacher say recently, he says, well, you know, we could look at the church today and we could compare it to that church. And I'm not necessarily asking you to compare it. I'm saying yearn for it. But he says we could look at it, and we could look at our leaders, and we could look at other people, and we could have a lot of excuses. This guy, his name is Francis Chan, and he says, but why would we want to make up excuses? Wouldn't we rather just turn our attention and our hearts toward being that church instead of finding excuses for why we're not? You know what I would ask of you, young people? Don't blame anyone. Don't look for excuses. Don't blame your parents. You can blame JR if you want to. That's okay. But none of the other leaders. And then you could probably blame his dad, John, because JR is all John's fault. Don't make excuses anymore. Don't make excuses anymore. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And then ask Him to give you what you need in order to boldly proclaim the good news. I am telling you, you're coming into a day when people will write songs about what you do. They will tell stories about what you do. You know, it used to be back in the day when they had mighty soldiers who would do amazing things on the battlefield, and they'd always had a hireling on staff. Every army had a hireling on staff, and they were called bards or whatever, but they made up songs. They would sing songs about the great warriors in battle, because they knew that if they sang those songs and they became popular, which they often did, then everyone else would kind of ascribe, they'd want to be that hero that somebody sang a song about. And that's how they passed on history as well. It was usually kind of made up. It's like when you go on a mission trip, and it was actually kind of, you got sick, and there were a lot of boring times and a lot of times when things weren't happening cool, but you still come back and say, it was the most amazing thing. Jesus was not with anyone else in the earth except it was with us that day. I honestly think we're coming to a time when you are going to be the heroes. You can't just set out to do that. You say, I'm going to be the hero. What you do is you do exactly what I'm asking you to do. In your time, ask God, just by yourself, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? You don't know what's going to happen. And it may be years from now before you really understand and experience what happened. It could be that it happens immediately. I don't know what, I can't tell you how it's going to be, except that if you ask, He will fill you with His Holy Spirit. And it is, what He fills you with is, in reality, literally, the breath of the living God. It's not like any other time in history, you guys. You will carry the breath of the living God. That's phenomenal. It's terrifying. That's wonderful, and it's absolutely necessary. I expect the world to be different next week because of you people. So here's my final charge. Will you please give up your excuses? Give up your reasons why or why not? Give up all your answers for why you are not living like this. I'm telling you, if three or four people got electrified by the Holy Spirit the way these people did, it would change this entire room in a hurry. But it, you guys, it is terrifying because it means that, particularly for some of us old people, because we've kind of found a pretty comfortable spot, a lot of us, we don't actually worry that much about money anymore, believe it or not. It's not the issue anymore for us. And because of that, we're not quite as edgy sometimes in the way that we look at things, because we're a little fatter than we need to be in every way. We've got all the knowledge we could possibly hope for, and we have the things that we need. And you guys, let's get rid of the reasons why. Each one of you, each one of us, this Holy Spirit series has been key, and it's been timely. And I would encourage you, before Ray Lowe comes to speak next week, and before you hear the other people the next week, and before you hear Clem Ferris speak the next week, and before you hear Steve Oliver speak, before you hear all of these other people and you receive the prayer that you're going to receive because you are coming to the conference, because you're not cheap. You guys, again, if we were to say, in just a few days, in just a few days, I am going to come and I am going to fill you with my Holy Spirit and power. Would you have a reason not to go to that meeting? Other than you're just afraid. I'm here to tell you that if we ask him, he will come. Because he's already here. He said, I'll be here. If you guys are here and you're here in my son's name, I'll be here. So that's done. And then he says, ask me, ask me, ask me, and I will fill you with my Holy Spirit. Ask me. Should we ask him? I think it's time. I think that the time we are coming on is rushing upon us, but we don't see it. We can't feel it. We don't quite get it. But I am here to tell you, it is coming. There's something that is rolling toward you. And you're about to be absolutely in the middle of something that is so significant, it's going to affect history. And we don't want to be found here with excuses anymore. We don't want to be pointing fingers at our leaders. And we don't want to be pointing fingers at this or that. Or God, help us if we're pointing fingers at our political leaders. You guys, politics will not solve any of our problems, not one. Did you hear Jesus ever talk about the political problems? Did he ever say, come to me and I will give you the leader that you need? No. He said, come to me and ask me and I will fill you with my Holy Spirit. I will change you, not your circumstances. If he said, in a few days, I'm going to come. And if you ask me, I will fill you with my Holy Spirit. And then within a few weeks, because of my gospel, you'll be dead. How many would show up for the meeting? But you see, that's what it is. You're saying, I want you, Lord, and I'm willing for you to fill me, which means you get it all. You fill me. And then when you're feeling weak, you say, would you fill me? And then he fills you. And you're doing it not alone, not in isolation, not in your closet. You're doing it together because that's how the church was created. You've got to be doing this together. We have to be doing this together. It is time. It is time. Ask him. Go to your knees and ask him. You guys, look at this world. I guess I'm preaching now. Look at this world. Look at what's going on. It is time. It is time. It is time. It is time for a people to come before God humbly and ask him to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And I would ask you, you old people, are you willing and are you ready to do it again? And are you praying for these young people by name? If not, find out their names and begin to pray for them by name. Because what you have been entrusted with here is phenomenal. You should not discount this. This is amazing. It would appear to me that if you just pray for someone with the name Canny, you would be doing pretty well. Am I being fair? Probably not. But I'm saying what's on my mind. Would you stand with me? If you will jump in and if you will take part in the things that are happening with the conference that's coming up. Don't miss Ray Lowe next week. He's one of the great fathers of the faith. But don't miss the conference. Don't miss Sunday. I mean, yeah, the conference. And don't miss the next Sunday when Steve comes to speak. I heard a word earlier today, expectation. And I think it was even in one of the songs. Would you ask? Would you spend the next 2 weeks asking? Just wake up in the morning and ask. You guys, it's just that simple. I wouldn't have to yell at you if I were doing this more than I have been. Because I would just stand up in the room, everybody would fall down because I'm so filled with the Holy Spirit. You guys, this is a sincere cry of the Father's heart. That we would begin as a people, as individuals, but as a people, we'd begin to say, Lord, honestly, I'm not satisfied. This does not seem to be quite what you talked about and what your son died for. Would you begin to ask with me and keep asking and understanding that when you ask, you receive? Would you do that? It's not complicated. It's not theological. We don't have to have a debate about this. We just read the scripture. It says, if you ask, don't worry about defining what that means. Let him define it by filling you. Could we be a people who, for the next season, could just say, seek. Seek the filling of the Holy Spirit and his manifestation in my life. For some of us, that sounds ominous because you feel like maybe you're going to sacrifice something in order to receive that. But it's kind of like a mother who finally holds the newborn child against her breast, and all the cost doesn't seem to really matter anymore because she's holding new life. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we ask. And we will wait on you. We ask. We come to you and raise our expectation for the days that we're living in, but particularly the next 2 or 3 weeks. And we ask, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us. Lord, for those who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fill them. For those who have received your Holy Spirit but don't feel or act like someone who is full, Lord, for those of us who fit that category, fill us, we pray. And Lord, find us seeking you daily and crying out to you like a group of people who finally realized they're thirsty, like a group of people who finally realized that the diet that they've been on has been killing them rather than feeding them, like a people who heard the good news and even sacrificed for the gospel and the kingdom and then forgot. Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? We come to you and just purposely increase our expectation for the day that we live in. Let us be an answer, Lord, to the one who intimidates. Let us be an answer. And we pray for these young people. Thank you, Lord, for their boldness to even step forward today. We thank you that they came forward. We thank you that you've entrusted them to us. I look at these 2 or 3 rows and I'm just so absolutely delighted about the days to come. These are nation changers, Lord. Would you fill them with your Holy Spirit and draw them into your adventure of your kingdom? We come to you and pray in earnestness, and we'll continue to pray. Fill us. Amen.